Welcome to the Optimal Body Podcast. I'm Doc Jen.
And I'm Dr. Dom, and we are doctors of physical therapy, bringing you the body tips and physical therapy pearls of wisdom to help you begin to understand your body, relieve your pains and restrictions, and answer your questions.
Along with expert guests, our goal of the Optimal Body Podcast is really to help you discover what optimal means within your own body. Let's dive in. All right, before we unpack whether core exercises really do help back pain, which I'm so excited for this episode because I still get questions on this all the time, but I just want to say the one thing that we do know can help and really support your back is what you're doing at your foundation, which is your feet. What are you walking in? How are you taking care of your feet? Now, the shoes that we put our feet on are so important. So if you like to take your daily walks, if you're going out to the grocery store, taking some daily walks around, running errands, whatever it may be, start to spend time in Vivo barefoot shoes. This is going to allow your foot this natural toe spread so it can start to work functionally for your body. And the strength that we build at our feet is really going to play a role all the way to our low back in what we're feeling and how we're moving, how we're activating our glutes, how we're using our legs and our hips. It really does matter. So if you haven't yet, check out Vivo Barefoot Shoes. The code is optimal. Use this for 15% off of your shoes. We don't give this code out just anywhere. This is only for our podcast listeners. This is only for you. So if you haven't gotten your shoes yet, go check out Vivo Barefoot. We'll link it up below. Use code optimal at checkout. It gets you 15% off of your shoes. We've had a code change, so make sure you use code TOB so that you get 15% off. That is TOB, like the Optimal Body Podcast.
So, should you do core exercises for low back pain? Yes or no? I want to hear what your answer is right away.
Depends.
BS. I'd say yes.
You're going to say yes?
Yeah.
Here's what I'm going to say. When someone tells you, oh, your low back hurts, you should just do core exercises, that is a no.
That's not the full picture. What no. I would say is that's like three pieces of the 20-piece puzzle.
And what does it mean when you should do core exercises? Should I do crunches? Should I do planks? Like, how is that going to ultimately help when I'm bending down and picking something up and I hurt my back?
Yeah. Oh, you need to strengthen your core. Like, what's that mean?
What does that mean? Why is that really going to help? And I think that's really what we have to kind of break through right now.
And I think that the myth that we wanted to start out with is that a stronger core, like quantitatively, a stronger core does not correlate or mean that you're going to have less instance of back pain.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, we interviewed Steffi Cohen, who's one of the strongest women in the world. She has...
Literally.
So many records in lifting for women, and she has had severe back pain for years. She had a bout of back pain for years that she had to get over with, and she has one of the strongest cores in the world.
100%. And we also have to define the core when we're talking about this as well, because if you do look at Steffi Cohen, like her abs, the way that she is ripped, like, oh yeah, but that's not just the core.
Yeah.
That's your rectus abdominis.
One of the muscles. One of the many.
One of the muscles that really just helps you do this.
Yes.
It helps you bend the spine.
Bring your ribs down to your pelvis, essentially.
That is the rectus abdominis. But when we're talking about core, we really have to take a look at the entire picture. And we've talked about this endlessly on a lot of podcasts now, where the core is our main pillar, right? From our shoulders all the way down to our pelvis. And when we're talking about it, we're talking about a 360-degree aspect of the front, sides, and back. And again, if you look at Steffi, front, sides, and back, super strong.
Yeah, all around. And that's all the way from diaphragm and how that develops the stability amongst the rib cage to the pelvic floor and how that helps us regulate that pressure from top to bottom. Wrapping all the way around, we have that big corset muscle, the TVA. Mm-hmm. And then, like you said, it still includes and incorporates our shoulders and our hips as well. I don't think we would be talking about the complete core if we're not talking about our glutes and our quads and the muscles on the front and sides of our hips, as well as shoulder blades and what our shoulder blades are doing to help develop that synergy. Because when we talk about developing a stable and strong core, we're talking about how all of these components work in synergy with one another. Also, not just when you're sitting still or laying on the ground, but when you're up about moving and doing things.
Exactly. Because the other part of that myth of like a strong core is going to give you less back pain is that when people think of that, typically they're thinking this strong core is going to prevent me from buckling or breaking the spine.
Yeah.
That's what we're thinking. So that translates to never move the spine. Yeah. I need to stiffen down and just create this tension where I don't move because then I won't break my back, right? That is the myth that we're really going to be jamming into on this one because it's, I mean, that just doesn't make sense through life. You're going to bend, you're going to flex your spine, you're going to rotate your spine. And so we have to start to look at like, okay, how do I start to become comfortable in those movements in a more robust core in order to then maybe prevent back pain? Again, not necessarily this exercise is going to create this result, but what can I start to do to create a more resilient me?
Yeah, and we looked into a bit of like, okay, do isolated core exercises work best or do strength exercises work best? And again, there's not a huge consensus, but in general, if you're starting with isometric core exercises or exercises where you're not moving like a plank or a side plank or laying on your back and just even pressing into your knees or doing breath work, which I guess there's some movement there because you might be moving in the rib cage, but your spine is not moving.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a way to really start increasing the endurance of these core muscles. And when we increase the endurance, we overall increase that stability and our ability to fight fatigue off throughout the day. I think a lot of the times when we have these instances of back pain or when we're doing a certain movement or bending over, we tend to be in a fatigue state. We're not coordinating and using the strength that we do have well enough, and that's when we might move or tweak our back in a certain way that irritates something and that sticks with us for a while.
Exactly. That goes back to like kind of that core synergy that you brought up in the very beginning. When we're talking about core work, we shouldn't just be thinking of individual muscle stabilization. So I'm not just thinking about Kegels and just working my pelvic floor. I'm not just thinking about crunches and working my rectus abdominis. But the best way to kind of start to create this isometric bracing is really understanding this abdominal idea of bracing so that we start to coordinate the front with the sides, with the pelvic floor, with the breath, with the back all together. And almost learning how to create a natural weightlifting belt. Like sometimes I think people jump too quickly to weightlifting belts, and I get they're super necessary if you're lifting really heavy loads, right? If you're starting to really go aggressive in the gym. But before you get there, learn how to make your own natural weightlifting belt within your body that coordinates all these muscles together. And what we're seeing from the evidence is it doesn't really matter if we work muscles in isolation. Again, Kegels doesn't do anything for us unless we're taking it in functionally and working it with other muscles. So we have to learn how to coordinate this core together.
And a lot of times when people hear core bracing, they think of almost like this bearing down motion that is not going to allow for much movement at all. But that's not really the case. Within this bracing that you kind of mentioned before, like our back moves, we move throughout the day, we pick things up and we flex our spine. And so if we really start to coordinate this brace all the way from pelvic floor to shoulders, that's when our body will naturally have a little bit more of that support and stability when we do go out of that spinal neutral, mm-hmm. right? And we'll still have that coordinated and supported cord in those dynamic positions.
Right. And so one of the ways that we can start just finding this abdominal bracing and kind of isometric hold, because we can do this with however you feel about it. This is mostly PTs who would argue this, right? Not anyone else, but the McGill Big Three, right? We're going back to talking about things like planks or a curl up, I think is the first one, right? So just the thinking of this kind of top abdominal muscle region and curling up and holding without bringing in the psoas and the legs involved in it. So how can I, you know, start to flex and use my upper abdominal region and my anterior core, so the front of your core, without overutilizing the hips? And being able to hold that, a side plank, a bird dog that kind of makes you offset. So if you think about being on all fours and extending the opposite arm and leg, you know, it kind of wants to make your body rotate, but can you stiffen up and kind of avoid that rotation? Or same thing, like if you were in a single leg loop bridge and you kind of come up, would your hip drop or kind of can you maintain that stability? And what I like about those exercises is it's going to teach you how to understand that bracing through movement and in all directions, right? The front, side, and back.
I was going to say it hits all of those major planes of motion, all the three lines with that curl up. And if you've never done a curl up this way, like if you're used to doing full sit-ups and you feel it in the front of your hips, this is an exercise that will really help you just feel it in the front of that abdominal region by focusing on just lifting your sternum towards the ceiling and pinching that rib cage almost down towards your sternum and doing it nice, controlled, and slow. And 10 reps of those, you really should start to feel that soreness and that pump start in the front of that abdominal region. Same with the side plank. Like you mentioned, it hits that lateral line and the bird dog or the single leg glute bridge. It's going to help us with that rotation or resisting the rotation. And Stu McGill, and I think where he gets a lot of criticism is like, his mentality has always been, don't move the spine, right? The more you move the spine throughout life, the more you're going to wear it out and potentially get into a position where you might have injury. And where I don't know if I completely agree with that, I think that these three or four exercises that we listed are really good at starting to develop that stability and working into that coordination with the bird dog and with the single leg glute bridge. So I think there is a lot of validity to using those to start to build this endurance, to start to build that stability, especially as you start to get more dynamic with movement.
Exactly. It's a starting point. It's not like the end all be all, right? Is you can't just expect to do these forever and it's going to create the result that we want, which is a more resilient spine.
Can't do a bird dog as the grocery at the grocery store when you're holding a child under one arm and reaching for some groceries with not the other really. Arm. Yeah. A bird dog is not going to help you in that scenario. That's where we have to translate what those exercises bring us to function in real life.
Right. But that goes back to what we kind of do in like core one, right? When we're going to the baselines of almost all phase ones within Gen Health, there's some core that tap on. I mean, there is a core plan as well within Gen Health that you can look at because it starts at this baseline. It starts at these isometrics. How does my pelvic floor coordinate with my breath? How does my pelvic floor coordinate with my TVA and with my back? And how does that coordinate whether I'm on my back, my stomach, my side? And we go into all these different isometrics first before we then start to get a little bit more dynamic and rotation and all that kind of stuff. So if you go through the core plan and the different phases, you'll kind of get this experience that we're talking about of what the core really is. Again, the core plan is great if you're really just trying to focus on understanding this coordination and the stability aspect. However, this alone isn't going to help your back pain.
Yeah, there's no one size fits all for the back. No. And that's where, again, when we said, if your back hurts, do you do core exercises at the beginning? I said yes, because I think that's one component. But another component for many people might be restrictions in mobility elsewhere, like restriction at the hips. If you have foundational and significant restrictions at the hips, you're going to likely compensate through your low back because our low back is one of the most mobile and free areas of the body. And so if we have restrictions at the hip, we're probably going to have compensation there. I mean, that's what I did throughout a lot of my collegiate career. I had really significant limitations at the hip. I still do. And I would use back extension to compensate for that. And I got myself in trouble sometimes when lifting heavy weights, doing stuff like that. Same with our upper back. I mean, if we don't have a lot of extension in the upper back, where are we going to find that extension? What about the neighbor, the low back?
Exactly. And when we're trying to create that abdominal bracing effect, we like the whole point of it is typically used in weightlifting, or if I'm going to get my kid out of the crib, or, you know, bending over and picking something up. That's a lot of the times when we're going to be talking about this abdominal bracing type movement, right? And when we want to create that stiffness. However, if I don't have mobility at the hamstrings or the hips, like Dom said, where am I going to move from? I'm going to move from the back. And so I then lose that access to that abdominal bracing because now I'm creating more movement where I'm supposed to create more stability. So we have to have, you know, where the where we kind of look at the body, mobility, stability, mobility, stability. It's mobility at the upper back, stability at the low back, mobility at the hips is a really basic way to start to look at it and really get that understanding of where could I be lacking in my body that I'm now compensating other places.
Yeah, which I had almost flipped backwards where I had very stable hips and upper back and I was finding all the mobility in my low back.
Yeah.
And you want to have exact the inverse of that. And so, like we mentioned, no one size fits all with the back and back pain. And there are so many other factors that fit into why somebody might be feeling back pain, especially recurring or long-term persistent back pain. And that's where we have to talk about more of a biopsychosocial model or including those psychological and social factors that are impacting why we might be having back pain. It's so hard to separate somebody who has gone to doctors and gotten MRIs and seen, oh, I have this disc bulge, or I have, you know, this slight curvature in my spine, or I have this. And that's the first thing people tend to identify with is, oh, I have back pain, but I have a few bulging discs. Again, if you've had bulging discs showing up on your MRI for 10 years, that's probably not the thing foundationally that's causing the physical pain, or that that thing no longer is causing that internal inflammation or whatever it would be that maybe years ago, if it initially happened, may have caused a little bit of pain. But now we are just continuing to use that to perpetuate these different pain patterns in our body.
Exactly. And we have so many episodes on low back pain, so many episodes that you guys can kind of...
And just on pain in general.
Yeah, that you can look through that. I mean, we continue to see that low back pain continues to present like as nonspecific. We more and more, right? We can't exactly pinpoint it because there's just a lack of association within the evidence that it's 100% because of awkward postures, or 100% because this facet is out, or 100% because your pelvis is rotated this certain way, or this MRI looks this certain way, right? Yeah. Like, we just have a lack of association, which means we can't say, because my MRI looks like that, this is why I have back pain. We can't look at that. So we have to start expanding and looking at other factors. And what we do see in the evidence is really there's no long-term difference between what kind of core program you end up doing.
Yeah.
Most all of them end up helping. And why? Because we're moving.
Because you're moving, because there are so many physiologic benefits to exercise in general and to loading our muscles, the amount of endorphins we release, the way it works fluids through our system, the way it helps with our circulatory system and our blood pressure and heart rate and everything. There are so many physiologic cascades that happen in our body when we start on a consistent training program that, like you said, there's no significant difference between doing a core program and a core program with other physical modalities.
Right.
Which makes sense to us because physical modalities like heat or electric stimulation or some sort of massage or Graston or mobilization techniques, while they may be great in the short term and they may help bring down symptoms, you know, in the short term, they're not long-lasting effects.
No.
We have to do something different to get long physiologic change.
100%. And that's the same with like stretching my back, right? Oh, my back feels really sore. I'm going to stretch it. Well, what we're doing is we're kind of stimulating those stretch receptors to give that perception of pain regulation in that moment, but it's not really doing anything long term.
Yeah.
So what else can we do? I mean, I think we've been talking about this, right? We can
absolutely
improve the mobility above and below the low back. We can start general strength training. Like, not only is that going to help to build a more robust body in general, robust mover, but we're also going to start to have just psychological changes that happen, biological changes that happen when we start strength training that are so beneficial throughout the entire system.
Yeah, it's funny. I think of different patients that I've had in the past that are in their later years, 60 plus, and this happened for multiple people where, you know, their biggest thing is like, I can't bend down and pick something up from the floor. And it's funny because the first time, and this would happen a couple sessions in, where I start out doing some of the modalities, getting them breathing, getting them starting to develop some of that core stability, and then you have them pick a 10-pound kettlebell or a 10-pound weight off of like a 2-foot high box, right? And 3 to 4 sessions in, you start lowering the box to 18 inches, to 1 foot, to 6 inches. And then 2 weeks later, they're picking up this 10-pound weight off the ground, and they almost don't make the connection in their mind. It's like, oh my gosh, like, I just did it.
Yeah.
And that's how you start to reduce some of that fear of these mm-hmm. movements that in the past you associate with immediate pain. But now you're starting to build this resiliency in the body. You're starting to show the body that, hey, I can be safe flexing forward, squatting down, and picking up something from the ground. And that is a massive component in pain. Like we said, especially and more so persistent pains and longer term pains.
Exactly. And so we did talk about like that isometric, that kind of stabilization of the spine. We do need to address it within a strength program or program of the physical therapist or our programs, our plans within the, you know, Gen Health. We are going to start to go into rotational patterns. Like, I show you how you can even help shoulder pain when you're doing an overhead press, a single arm overhead press, by getting rotation through mm-hmm. the back, right? And we use rotation to create that stability, to transfer the force out to our shoulder, but then also to use rotation and coordinate those muscles with the obliques to help out. And we rotate through life. We don't walk like a robot. We, as 1 foot comes in contact with the ground, we rotate the opposite direction in our upper back. And so we have to think, if I'm rotating naturally through life and yet my program is only stabilization, then I'm missing a whole component of functionality just living as a human.
Yeah.
So it's hugely important that, yes, we want this stability and identifying how to coordinate these muscles together in an isometric way, but we also need to then coordinate the muscles with the legs, with the glutes, with the shoulders, through this rotational pattern, through bending and flexing and extending and becoming strong in all these different planes.
Same, like, although, you know, squats and deadlifts are great and they're mm-hmm. a great place to start, that tends to be feet are equal, you know, distance apart, they're, you know, evenly dispersed weight. But again, in life, that doesn't tend to be how we operate. We tend mm-hmm. to have 1 foot slightly forward when we bend down to pick up a couple bags of groceries and walk and bring them inside. So training in these different lunge patterns, offset, staggered squats, so important to, like you said, using those natural planes of rotation and flexion and extension of the body to maintain that stable core that we've developed, say, using those initial 4 exercises that we talked about, the curl up, the side plank,
or the Gen
bird
Health
dog.
Plan.
Yes, which many of you would find in the Gen Health Plan.
Yeah.
And if you go down, we'll have a link in the show notes, there's always a free week trial.
Yeah.
So if you're somebody who's like, hey, I really want to start developing some of the stability and functionality in my core that y'all are talking about, go down. It's gen.health/free trial. You get a free week trial. You can get into the core program and any of the other 10 programs. There's also a low back one. We've been talking a lot about low back pain, which there is a ton of core stability stuff in, hip mobility, upper back mobility, all the components that we've been talking about that you can start to coordinate and find that path to developing a strong functional core, but also resilience in the body.
Exactly. And let's just end with, outside of movement, make sure you're sleeping, you're getting physical activity, you're getting a lot of love from people around you, and you're working on any depressive symptoms, stressors, and your mental health, because this all plays a huge role in what's happening with low back pain.
Yeah, so whatever it is in those areas of mental health, emotional health, whether it's spirituality, finding a spiritual, you know, community that you can mm-hmm. be a part of, meditation, mindfulness, journaling, breath work, all options.
Releasing anger. That's a huge one for women.
Going out and smashing shit.
Yeah, come on. Screaming a little inappropriate settings, you know?
Yes.
Let it out.
Not
cry.
Not in the middle of that grocery store when you have one kid under your arm, but once you get home and can scream into a pillow and smack the pillow on the top of your mattress. Great way to let out some of that emotional tension that you might be holding in the body.
Hopefully that helped to all give you a better understanding of what it means, or when someone tells you, oh, you have back pain, just do core exercises. Hopefully you have a better understanding of what that can look like. And maybe you even start to educate the person a little bit who told you about it. Now, if you have more questions, you have more pain things that are happening in your body, I hope you really go check out Gen Health. It's just gen.health/free trial. And that's going to give you a free week to really try out, dive into these programs, and know that Dom and I are really here for you. We don't want you to only understand what's happening in your body through these podcasts, but we want you to feel it. So if you have any questions at all as you're going through it, please, please reach out to us. We're here for you. We want to see you succeed. And we hope to see you back on another episode from the Optimal Body Podcast.